Campus airs every Thursday at 5 on WEFT Community Radio, followed by See You at the Show coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surferbilly Freakout at 6 p.m., Freeform Music at 7 p.m., Roots, Rock, and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Gettin' Your Jammies at 10 p.m.
See You at the Show recognizes and acknowledges that we gather today on Indigenous land taken through deception, coercion, violence, and genocide. We acknowledge the continued displacement and oppression of Native people and honor their commitments to survival, identity, and the protection of our world. I did there with the bass, I got louder at the end.
I like that.
Instead of
like
tapering
that.
It off.
We'll have to do that
because,
more often.
You know,
right.
If I didn't get a big enough rush from in the first place.
And we are going on with the show. So much to talk about. We don't have time to chit-chat.
I know, but it's very reminiscent of February 2020.
Right.
Remember what that month was called?
The Frenzy.
February Frenzy. Yeah, you could go to five shows
that
in one single day.
That wasn't 2020. Must have been 2019. Really?
Yeah, that was pre-pandemic, right?
Pre-pandemic. Really? 2020 was pre-pandemic. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So anyway, we have, what's a word that starts with an N? We need an anagram or whatever that is. It is...
We should have thought of that ahead of time. We don't have time for chit-chat. I just said that because we've got so many things going on.
Okay,
so.
This is even bigger than February Frenzy, kids. You can actually, on Saturday, choose from six shows within a...
To go watch.
45-minute radius
right.
that you can see... And you can read all about them on our website, Facebook page. And today we are fortunate to have an opening night guest in the studio in She Kills Monsters, Michael Bryan. Welcome to See You at the Show.
Thank you very much for having me. This is fun.
So great to see you at Parkland Theater again. I'm a huge fan of Parkland Theater and you as a director.
Thank you.
If you don't know She Kills Monsters, it's we'll get into more of what it's about. But there's a D&D theme in there. Mm-hmm. And I know you're a fan of D&D, so it's kind of cool that you're directing. So tell us more about why you chose the show or how the show chose you.
Well, the show chose me. Because of the pandemic, Parkland decided that they could have a minimal kind of theater season a little bit. So our producer, Brian Morgan, over at Parkland, he picked a few shows that could be handled in our small black box. And sometime early August, he called me up and says, "Hey, Mike, do you know this show?" And I said, "I know of it. Well, you're going to direct it." And I ran over, grabbed a script, and started studying it. So I've literally only been on the project since early August.
Wow, you would not know it. Because, I mean,
really?
I've seen it multiple times in different places. One of the things, I just really think the way you have it set up and having it in the black box is perfect. Like, it really puts you into the show.
I think that this show is built for a small, intimate black box setting. It's like playing a D&D game. The closer you are to the table, the better.
Right, yeah, it's excellent. And this is the first time you've seen it. Eric, right? So, and you're not a D&D fan. So even if you don't know anything about D&D, you can still get a lot out of the
show. Yeah, so I was just a little bit skeptical about how much I would get it and how much I would like it. I know that I've seen pictures before of like Jace Jameson with the big horns when the station did it and Urbana just did it. And I, for various reasons, didn't see either of those. And so I didn't know how compelling and how moving it was going to end up being. How well it played with the fantasy, reality, and the quest. I don't know. We were talking afterwards about what movies and shows and concepts it made us feel like. I mean, there's even a little bit of Wizard of Oz in there where you have she's exploring the non-reality with real people. I don't know.
Right.
As a D&D person who plays, do you feel it was kind of true to the experience in some ways?
Not really. I mean, I play D&D. I'm kind of new to it. I've only been at it for a few years. But I do enjoy the game. But the script, the Dungeons and Dragons is kind of just a backdrop of sorts. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of something to hang the story on. It's not about the game. It's not about the mechanics of the game. And you don't have to know anything about it to enjoy the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've ever heard of D&D, you kind of have a gist of what it's about. And that's really all you need to come watch the show. So it's about the main characters and the sisters and their journey about learning each other. And
right.
D&D was it was fun part of it. And I made the cast play D&D before we started rehearsal.
Oh, that's great.
Because most of them had no clue.
Uh-huh.
And so we played a couple sessions just to have fun and kind of get into the spirit of the game. And we had a great time. So, but D&D is not the point of the show.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it's not a prerequisite to understand
Correct.
It. There's,
yeah.
you know, a couple, you know, things that they talk about, but it doesn't matter. Like, it's not important to the
I think we sat
show.
Down one night, and there's only maybe one, maybe two rules even mentioned in the show.
Right.
And they're
right.
so glossed over, it doesn't matter.
Right.
yeah.
I sense, though, that having a DM, a dungeon master like Douglas Malcolm's Chuck would be a great thing to have, though.
Oh, my stars. That man is amazing.
The whole cast, I was just really impressed with how maybe it's because everybody is dying to do theater again, but they just all really worked well together, and it seemed like they've been doing this forever. Like, they've all been working together forever, and a lot of them are new or have never worked together.
Yeah, I've worked with maybe one or two of the cast before, and yeah, we were just... this is one of the first big shows that Parkland has done, and I think just in the area, as you, like you said, there's, what, six, seven...
Yeah.
Opening this weekend?
Right.
Yeah, so we're all so eager to get back. But, yeah, this cast is amazing. Doug especially. I mean, he's gotten so many compliments, and I agree with all of them. He's hysterical. Holy crow.
He's so funny.
Yeah, he's amazing. But the whole cast is that way. They all have their they all have their talents. They all have their moments, and they're all the biggest group of friends in the world right now.
And they look like they're having fun.
They are. They're having a grand... I mean, and I rehearsed them to the point of exhaustion a couple nights, and they're still walk away smiling. They're still having a grand time, and they're doing it all. And I'm asking them to do a lot.
Yeah, and it's a lot, and it's a pretty physical show too with the swords and things like that. I mean, I've seen it done. I mean, your swords are big swords. They look heavy. So
yeah, we have a fight choreographer named Miles Norsworthy, and he's a genius.
I was wondering about that. Yeah.
Miles is amazing. He's a great teacher, and he came in for the first week of rehearsals and taught us all the basic language of swordplay.
Mm-hmm.
And they picked it up.
Right.
And now that we're in the runs of the show, they're actually using the old German terms. I couldn't give you an example.
That's
I don't
awesome.
Know them.
Right.
But they're using the German terms and the moves, and there's some of the sword fights are pretty amazing.
Right. No, yeah. I was super impressed.
I think to have the number of them also, and to think of how that has to be blocked and choreographed time after time, that's when I started making my notes, like so much fight blocking, and it was great, and you do hear the metal on metal,
right.
and...
Yeah,
that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, the swords are heavy and they're real, and the shields, they're all meant to be hit, and they do.
But I have to say, like, the puppets kind of put it over the top for me. And did you create these puppets yourself?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did design and build the puppets and the masks used in the show.
Wow. I mean, that just really, I mean, it was already a great experience, and I was like, yeah, they really nailed it. But the puppets kind of like, you just don't see that anywhere else. And
yeah. You
I
had me with
impressed.
The little puppet, but then when the big dragon,
yeah, the big dragon
puppets
yeah.
came on, that
yeah,
was
the dragons. In fact, when they're like fighting the dragon, I kept going, don't hurt the, you know,
it's too early in the run to break
Yeah. Don't,
those things,
don't break them. But obviously they know what they're doing.
They do know what they're doing. Just a little secret. Not that you want to go to the show looking for it, but there's a few holes in the dragons.
Sure. Well, yeah, that's to be expected. But that's okay. They're beautiful. I mean, just so impressive. And
thank you.
The choreography for, you know, the dragon part and fight choreography and everything is just
amazing.
Yeah,
that was again Miles with the fight choreography to kill the dragons, and the rest of the cast blocking and working with him.
Yeah.
So that fight scene is has nothing to do with me, and everybody else did that one. So
And I like how the set moves around, like they kind of slide parts of the set mm-hmm. across the floor and stuff. That was pretty
Well, those
impressive.
Are two, what you had down on, I guess there's no stage right and stage left with the wind.
Right, because it's galley, is that?
It's, yeah. Yeah, it's what we call galley. So we have, it's basically our stadium seating. We have mm-hmm. audience on two sides, and we have one end that represents reality, the main character's reality in their home. And then we have another, the other end represents the fantasy Dungeons and Dragons world.
And I like how the reality is looks very like bland and cartoonish, you know, kind of like there's not a lot of color. It's just kind of an outline, right. which is awesome. And then the fantasy is
it's
like,
almost like Pleasantville in that way
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
It does seem so
exactly
so,
yeah, yeah.
Right. And the way that Agnes is dressed too for mm-hmm. Just with the white shirt and the high, I don't know if they're like plaidish pants. And it just seemed like, really, this is a character I'm actually going to be cheering for in an hour and a half. Right? You got to be kidding me. And then
you do.
There I was.
Yeah.
Right. Goosebumps and everything. Like, how right. did that arc happen? And so I think we had it at about 90 or 95 minutes. Is that what you
We are running right at about an hour 35.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what we thought.
Yeah. And it's one act.
One act, no intermission.
Perfect.
And they plow through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's an amazing show.
And there's really no downtime. Like you're constantly in it, you know,
yeah.
in the process.
Yeah, it's written in this really small little bitty episodic structure. So mm-hmm. you get this one tiny scene and then the next important part of the story is in the next tiny scene and it moves very quickly. So that was one of our goals, was to make sure we kept it running smooth.
Right, right. I mean, we've always been fans of Jess, and Jess is like a perfect,
you know, marvelous
Tilly. And then, and so like we could just spend the whole time talking about Jess. But then, you know, there's Renee. And then, but Lilith, I'd never seen the actress who played Lilith. And I was really, really pleasantly surprised by her.
Yeah, she and Emma, who plays Agnes, they're new to at least Parkland. Emma's new to the area.
Right.
And they came into auditions, and two of the strongest strongest readings and auditioners I had. And the young Kelsey, the young lady who plays Lilith, she came in and we did this had a short dramatic scene between the two sisters, and she nailed it every time she did it, and it got more and more emotional. And then she turned it off and played around, and I could not use her. Yeah, her audition was wonderful.
Yeah, I can't wait to see every single person in more mm-hmm. shows.
Yeah, what's interesting about this one is usually when you see like superhero movies or something, you get to know the characters pre-superhero, and then they turn into something fantastic. And here you had like the Lilith character, Kelsey Powell. She was this Amazonian, you know, warrioress,
yeah.
and then suddenly she's this timid little high school.
It almost didn't seem believable she was the same actress. Like, she plays it so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's why she got that role.
Right. Yeah. And then the cheerleaders, there's like these mean cheerleaders that were, I mean, are amazing. And I mean, really, we could, again,
right.
I'm so impressed.
I had some time this afternoon. I started working on reviews. I love to write the reviews. And I just kind of, it's going to be so too long. I need Linda to cut it down, because there's every single person, even who played Steve, that guy who comes on and just says, "It is I, the great mate Steve."
Yeah,
every time it was funny.
Yeah.
Right.
And I even heard you, we were close enough to you that I would hear, and I don't usually hear directors like laughing as much as you laughed, even though you said you've directed the hell out of it.
I did. First of all, that's Spencer Hazen playing the great mate Steve. And he's just funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. This whole cast, they were so, so into the show. Most of them know the show. Most of them had, a good number of them had done the show before.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fascinating because we did rehearse like fiends. But they all managed to hone in on their character by about halfway through the rehearsal process. They had a real solid understanding of their character and their place within the world and that sort of thing. But I've allowed, you know, I made sure to let them know that they have ownership of these characters. So it's not my vision. It's, you know, I'm just kind of putting it through its paces, but they have ownership of these characters. And to this day, I mean, even last night, Doug and Zoe and Jess and Emma, they're all, they're still playing with the nuance.
Mm-hmm.
And every night, a couple of the lines are a little different because in the moment, it feels a little bit different. And they'll play with the nuance. And Last night, Jess caught me off guard and did something just pure and lovely, and it was hysterical, and I lost it. And I know exactly where you're talking about.
I'm almost sad. I would love, this is one of those shows I'd like to see multiple times from different places in the theater, and just to because there's so much going on and so many different people on the stage at the same time, I kind of want to be able to focus on different people.
Yeah.
And I'm sad that you're already sold out for the first weekend.
Yeah, why are we promoting this if we want to see it again?
I know. Right? Don't go.
I'm deleting all my Facebook posts about right? it.
There's another weekend. Relax.
So, yeah, and you were talking to us before we started that there's a cap on the number of people. You can only have 60 in the theater.
Yeah, this is a Parkland imposed cap to help the COVID situation. And they capped any large meeting at 60 people. Mm-hmm. So that's what we've got in terms of audience for each performance.
So when you rehearsed, were you rehearsing masked or do you have to?
Yes, we rehearsed in mask up until two nights ago. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I saw their faces in performance. And it's an odd experience
right.
to not see anybody's face for 6 weeks and then see them perform full face.
Yeah.
The gentleman who plays the boyfriend, Michael Ruby, he plays Miles, the boyfriend, and
right.
he's one of them. You know, all I see is his eyes. But when he took the mask off, it's like, oh, that's what you're doing.
Right.
And it was so good and so rich and just marvelous, you know. So
we talked to Renee afterwards, and she's like, it was interesting, you know, to see everybody's faces once. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So
yeah.
Anyway, I know we're running out of time for you, and you probably need to get to the theater.
Yeah, so. Well, congratulations, Mike. This is such a fun show, big success.
Thank you.
We are definitely going to try to see it again. And yeah. Your cast just did a tremendous hot all the way up and down the roster. We can't give enough love to you. So
yeah,
thank you very much.
Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. So now we're going to go to a previously recorded interview we have with Monticello Theater Association's Gil Yonka and actress Michaela Cruz.
Now joining us on See You at the Show is Michaela Cruz and Gil Yonka, who are part of Monticello Theater Association's production of Death and Taxes, which is opening this weekend. Welcome to See You at the Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so Michaela, we've had you on the show before, but I'm sure some of our listeners are not aware of you and your theater involvement. What is your little theater bio?
Yeah, so, well, the last time I was on the show was for another MTA show a couple of years ago, Witness for the Prosecution, and I haven't done many shows in town. I did one show at Parkland with you, as you know, Leading Ladies, and then I did mine at Station Theater, and so, you know, there keeps keeping breaks in the theater experience because of, you know, kids, family, pandemics, that sort of thing, so super excited to get back on stage again.
You've also done some stuff with CUTC and their mystery theater,
yes.
Right? How can you leave that off?
I know. I've really been enjoying doing the murder mysteries with CUTC, enjoying them so much that I wrote my own plot, and I'm very excited to debut that sometime. That is super fun because when you don't have time for a full show, it is a one night only, no memorization, show up and improv and just have a ton of fun.
Have any of those been ongoing through the COVID era?
A few, you know, there had to be some gaps, but the spirit of Peoria did continue some during the pandemic with masks on and on the riverboat. And a couple are starting to pick up now.
Okay. And Gil, we have not met you on See You at the Show before. You are the director of this production. What is your involvement with local theater historically?
Okay, about 10 years ago, I was about to retire from the Champaign Police Department, and I thought, well, I need a hobby. And I've always been kind of a bucket list. I wanted to get on stage in community theater. My youngest son was in local theater since he was 8. And so I got the opportunity back, I think it was 2011, in a show called 1787. And then I, too, did a lot of CUTC murder mysteries to kind of cut my teeth and get practiced. And once I got on stage, I fell in love with it. Two things that I really love about community theater is, one, it's the closest thing to a team sport that you can get. You got your individual roles, but then you come together as a team to put on the show, and it's a wonderful feeling. The other thing is, it gives me a sense of service, a way to use God-given talents and gifts to give back to the community, so that when they come to the show, they can kind of forget their troubles for a couple of hours, and it just feels like we're serving them.
So did you choose Death and Taxes, or did Monticello come to you and ask you to direct? How did that come about?
No, actually, I chose it. We knew we were like all other community theaters for the last year and a half, silenced and doing nothing. And, you know, a year and a half of sadness and loss, we knew we wanted to do something that was just darn right plain fun. And I was familiar with the author, Pat Cook, because my first play that I directed was called Stealing Home, also written by Pat Cook. That was in 2015. So I was familiar with his writing style. And so I just kind of looked at some of his other plays, and I found Death and Taxes. And I thought, well, this is going to be just what we're looking for. Just plain fun, characters that the audience build or relate to. But anyway, so then in my background, I've also done shows with CUTC, Parkland College, several local theater, Bah Humbug Productions, CHM Christian Productions. So I've done quite a varied theater since, 10 years? A lot is going on.
Yeah, so when you spoke about Monticello Theater Association, I think you said we. Are you part of the board there, or is part of the administration?
Yes, I'm part of the board, yes.
Okay. And how is that board configured? Is that can you tell us anything about the structure of it?
Yeah, we've got a president, a vice president, secretary, a treasurer, and I'm a past president, so I fill that position. And then we have just overall board members, 9 in total.
Okay.
And we meet monthly.
And do you do show selection just collectively, or is there like somebody who's responsible for that each season?
No, we have directors that will submit possible shows, and then as a board, we review them and decide whether we want to go forward with it. And okay. we're always looking for a new director. So we encourage anybody to submit shows and let us review it.
Yeah, well, we were out there recently to see Doubt, that was done by a Twin City Theater Company. The Monticello Theater space is really quite nice. The first time I was there was to see Michaela 2 years ago in Witness for the Prosecution. And it really is quite a great space. And Michaela told me that you've been rehearsing there pretty much for the whole run.
Yes. And in fact, we just rebuilt that stage about 3 years ago. And it was pretty creaky and made a lot of noise. And so it's really, really a nice, quiet stage, good space. And that's what's unique about Monticello. There's very few small towns that have their own theater space. And that's kind of one of the reasons why, you know, Twin City asked if they could use our space, is because I guess they lost their space. And so, you know, having that available is wonderful, especially to be able to rehearse on it.
Yeah, that's one of the things, like at the Station Theater, for example, in Urbana, is that we've historically run so many shows there back to back to back that you usually only actually get in the space for the last week or two. And that is a difficult dynamic, both just logistically from rehearsals, and then also just to actually get used to performing it in the space that the audience is going to see you on. So that is a really great thing. So let's talk about Death and Taxes. It's in my little review of it sounds a little bit like one of the murder mysteries that you're familiar with at CUTC. But Michaela, why don't you give us a little summary of what happens in the show?
Yeah, it does remind me a lot of the CUTC murder mysteries, because I think the show is a lot more comedy than mystery. You know, I would not come to the show and try to figure it out. You know, it's more a show that you sit back and laugh at and enjoy the craziness unfolding. It's big characters that are over the top and ridiculous, lots of big personalities on stage, lots of just witty lines and banter back and forth. So it's more comedy than mystery. I'm excited. I'm bringing my own kids to see the show, and I think that they will like it too. It's kind of the kind of humor that would appeal to a wide range of audiences.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions, if it was kid friendly. So I appreciate you saying that. How big is the cast?
9. Yeah, we have 9 cast members, and then we have a radio announcer that is recorded.
And are you taking any COVID precautions in the pictures? I don't see masks, so are. Is the audience supposed to be masked, but the players aren't?
Yeah, unfortunately, as long as, you know, the governor's orders in effect, the audience will need to be masked, and that, you know, that'll be at the door, and we'll have them if they don't come in with them. Our cast has been masked up until last night.
Okay.
That was the first time we actually got to see their beautiful faces and smiles and laughs while they're performing. So that was really nice.
It definitely changed the dynamic. There were some points we realized, oh, we got to not laugh at this part now. We got to keep the straight face here.
Right.
We weren't used to seeing our castmates' smiles and the faces they were making at us. So it was definitely a different show last night, but it was exciting to perform it, you know, for real. So the audience members will be masked and all the cast members' vaccination was required to be in the show.
Great.
So I noticed that, Michaela, you're a Champaign resident, and I think David Heckman is too, or Champaign-Urbana. Mm-hmm. And I've acted with Kelly Barber Connerty before. So have you noticed more actors coming from outside the Monticello area, Gil, in recent years?
Yes. As a matter of fact, this cast, we've got actors from Urbana, Champaign, Savoy, Monticello, Rantoul, Mahomet, and Broadlands.
Wow. It's almost like there's a one actor per city limit and you form an all-star team, basically. Well, this is in a lot of ways an all-star team. There's a lot of familiar faces that I know and that I've also just looking at the picture have seen in other works. When you open up on
Saturday.
Okay. And what are the days and show times of this run of Death and Taxes?
Okay, so this Saturday, November 6th, 7:30, then Sunday matinee at 2:30 on the 7th. Then we go back to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday next week. So we got the 12th, 13th, and 14th. So the 14th will be another matinee on Sunday, and the Friday, Saturday will be 7:30 shows.
And how long is the run, and is there an intermission?
Yes, including intermission, the whole thing's 2 hours.
Okay.
And so for more information about tickets, you can go to MonticelloTheater.org/tickets, or just, I'm sure, just go to MonticelloTheater.org. We also have a tab of plays now showing on See You at the Show website and on our Facebook page. So Michaela and Gil, thank you very much for joining us on See You at the Show. We can't wait to preview this and talk about it more on air, but we're excited and it's great that people are getting back on stage again. Have fun.
Thank you. Yeah, thank we can you. See you have an audience.
And we are just about ready to hit the road to head out to Monticello, as us Hamiltonians say.
Yeah, to see Death and Taxes. And we're going to see Fun Home, hopefully, tomorrow night. And if you guys are seeing anything and you want to, like, let us know things that we're missing, let us know. Heather's is...
I don't know if there's any more room on our website, but if you go to seeyouattheshow.com...
Right. And go ahead and comment and say, I saw this and it was great. And, like, let us know.
We don't have a comment mechanism on the website. But
no,
the
not
page,
on the Facebook page. Sure. Right, yeah.
And but we do have... There's, you know, just even going on right now, just a quick recap. We have Playing with Fire After Frankenstein, which we both saw in... Danville with Red Mask Players. You can read our review on the website and Facebook page. We have Grace and the Ghost, Pipe Dream Studio in Decatur. Scary Stories at the Station is done because Halloween is over. But Urbana opens Heather's tonight. Yay. Urbana High School. It's a great musical. Go see it. Human Terrain, play, Heartland Theater, Bloomington, directed by Sandy Zielinski, one of the greatest with Mindy Smith and... Yeah. And Tanya Razi Combs, both Champaign actresses in it.
Mm-hmm.
And She Kills Monsters tonight, of course, opening at Parkland. Elf the Musical, opening in Bloomington by Community Players tomorrow. And Death and Taxes, opening Saturday in Monticello. So, wow, I'm out of breath. You got to fill in here when I'm out of breath.
I'm sorry. and there's auditions coming up. Just check out our website, check out our Facebook page.
Yeah, we've got a Now Playing page. We've got an auditions page.
Wear your masks. Go see as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, exactly. There's auditions. The only one that's really imminent, like this weekend, is Raisin in the Sun, Community Players Theater in Bloomington. I really want to support that theater and this show. So get out there and see it if you can. Thanks a lot for joining us on See You at the Show. Surfability Freakout is coming up next. We're on our way to Monticello. Let's see shows smart and give standing ovations. Why not?
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This has been the Weft Courier for Thursday. Join us for the Weft Courier every weekday for Democracy Now! At 4 p.m., followed by two additional programs of information.